Unit 12, page 115. B2 First for Schools. Listening Part 2. Exercise 1. You will hear a student called Isabella Gill talking about her recent trip to Cuba to study a tiny bird called the bee hummingbird. For questions 1 to 10, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
Hi everyone, my name's Isabella Gill. I'm a research student and I've come to talk to you today about a trip I went on to Cuba to study an amazing creature called the bee hummingbird. Lots of research has been done on bee hummingbirds in recent years. The majority of this has been into their feeding habits. The numbers of these beautiful little birds have gone down dramatically in the last few decades, though. So the team I was part of was there to try and discover how many of them are left. Bee hummingbirds live only on the Caribbean island of Cuba. The main reason why there are fewer of them left in the wild is that much of the forests where they live have disappeared, close to 80% of them, in fact. In the year 1800, 89% of Cuba was covered in forest. 100 years later, this had fallen by 35% to only 54%. Today, this figure stands at around 27%, although this is gradually rising thanks to extensive replanting. Bee hummingbirds are probably best known for being the world's smallest birds. The smallest birds you generally see day to day in this country have bodies roughly as large as a typical hen's egg. Think instead of the size of a large grape, and you'll have an idea of how small a bee hummingbird is. Because they're so tiny, bee hummingbirds are an easy meal for other animals. I was aware that larger birds occasionally catch bee hummingbirds as food, but when I was told that frogs sometimes do too by one of the other researchers, I was astonished. Seeing my first ever wild bee hummingbird was a very special occasion. Our guide was fascinated to see how I'd react. Emotional is probably the best way I can think of to explain the effect that finally seeing something so tiny and beautiful had on me. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Part of our work was to record how many males and females we saw. The problem is that for a lot of the year, they look very similar, both having green backs and pale chests. Their tails, however, always allow you to work out which is which, with males having black feathers there and females white. During the breeding season, the males develop a red or pink throat, making it easy to tell male and female apart. Adult hummingbirds feed by using their long tongues to drink a sugary liquid called nectar, which is found in many flowers. There's lots of competition for nectar, though, as it's so full of energy. Open flowers that look a little like bells are accessible to many different creatures, while those resembling tubes prevent lots of larger beasts getting inside and taking the nectar. So these are the ones bee hummingbirds tend to go for. Every animal and bird needs to eat a certain proportion of their body weight each day to survive. It's rare for any creature to eat as much as half of their own body weight, but because bee hummingbirds use so much energy flying, they're actually obliged to consume twice the 1.8 grams that they typically weigh. Bee hummingbird babies are totally dependent on their mothers for several weeks after they're born. The young birds need a substance in their food called protein in order to grow. Nectar contains none of this, but the tiny insects that form the main part of what they're given to eat are full of it. Ants, or anything bigger, are just too large for the babies to swallow. The babies spend the first few weeks of their lives in a tiny nest. This is built in a bush or tree and is made initially of small sticks and leaves. Animal hair and feathers are then added, which help to keep the eggs and babies warm. The bee hummingbird mother then collects spider webs, which are added to the nest to make it solid enough to hold two growing babies. Thanks for listening. Does anyone have any questions?